This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today show are as follows. The Nintendo SNES. What other email are you using? The TSA digging deeper. AT&T decides to charge you more for privacy. And your fingerprint may be all you'll need in the future to fly. I want to welcome you to episode 1209 of the Geekness Center podcast for Monday, June 26th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeeknessCentral.com/GoDaddy. And we want you to support this show today at GeeknessCentral.com/Insider or simply just PayPal.me/Geek News. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out for the very, very first time. And if you are one of those brand new listeners, we want you to take time and get over to GeekNewsCentral.com. Visit the website. Get subscribed to the show. You can do so right on the right-hand column of the website. Sign up for the newsletter while you're there. Doesn't matter if you're an Android listener or Android user, if you're an iOS user, if you like to go old school and get it via email, if you like Google Play, if you like Stitcher, you like TuneIn, we can get you the show really just about any place there is. So definitely get subscribed when you're over on the website again at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, again, check out the content that's being written by my writing team over there. And then, if you have comments on today's show, you can drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And follow me on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, join our Slack channel by just basically sending me an email and say, hey, I want to join your Slack channel. That way you can hang out with the rest of the Ohana. You can follow me on Google Plus and Facebook just by searching for my name. And you can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV. Listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry.com, or you tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site by the GNC team, Podcast Legends by yours truly, and of course, the New Media Show, co-hosted by Rob Greenlee and I. Lots of podcast content to be listened to on the website. So where you want to start is geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we want to thank our longtime running sponsor, and really GoDaddy is the reason that we're still here, putting out great content, being able to do what we do. And I want you to take time to get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Once you're over there, the promo codes are there. And we've actually seen an uptick here near the end of the month. So we want to thank those of you that are picking up products and services. So we're a little bit behind mid-month, but I think we're on track to being okay. So you can save 30% on new product purchases by using the promo code CJCGNC30. You can get a .99 or 99-cent.com by using the code CJCGNC99. You can get a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year. That's $12. For economy hosting and a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting. That's my favorite. Again, $12 first year with a free domain. $1 a month, $12. And you get an $8 domain. That's $4 for the hosting. You can get 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder for those of you, the business owners, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All those codes start with CJC, then end with GNC1HS, GNCWP1, GNC free. So definitely check all those codes out again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Now, next week, we will officially be 12 years. They've been with us since 2005. And as far as I'm concerned, that there's no other podcast that's had a single sponsor for that long. So we want to welcome them or thank them for their ongoing support here. I'm adjusting the camera for those of you watching. So anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. It's good to be back and awake, because I must just apologize. That last show, that was as close to a train wreck as any show I've done in recent past, because I actually caught myself kind of like, I had no business doing a show. I was absolutely wiped out. Time zone wise, my body was, it was still 2 o'clock in the morning. And I should have just passed. But I hope you were entertained as much as I wasn't. But I'm back tonight. I'm back to normal. Besides the cats, and you know, I love cats. And don't get me wrong, but about for the last 15 minutes, they were both facing an extinction event or using one of their 9 lives, because I got to the studio, got everything fired up, ready to go. And I do this with the mic. I tap it twice and there was nothing there. I was like, oh, what's going on? And I turned around and I looked back behind and I could see stuff had fell down from, well, basically, for those of you that are watching, where my finger's at is the top of the audio rack. And there's the mixer that has a cover below. And then all the other stuff. But it looks like the cat tried to scramble up the side of the audio rack. Ended up on top. Knocked a bunch of batteries off. Matter of fact, I had to sort through the trash and pull a bunch of camera batteries and stuff that they had knocked off into the trash. And I'm still, I still got to dig around and see what they've done. yes, indeed. And it looks like they tried to go in between where the mixer was and trying to get to behind. Why do they want to go behind stuff all the times? So, yeah, we're going to be putting in some closed door action here. Or the cat is pissed off and figured out how to push my button. But we've never had cats until my daughter moved back. And as much as I love cats, yeah. So anyway, you guys don't want to hear about cats, but I do want to just kind of get you guys up to speed on what's going on. Hi, Barbara. How, Jason? Oh, you're in Germany, huh? Hey, how you doing? Good morning from Germany. Catching this thing when it's early there. Yeah, very early, 6:30, I think, right? In Germany right now in the morning. So anyway, let's just talk about, I titled this show, Taking the Tech Away. And what's really going on is I have two millennials in the house. And they both, since I've been back, have had the ability to press my trigger. You know, they're living here rent-free. They're going to college. And I'm feeding them, providing electricity, letting them raid the refrigerator, all that stuff, right? And so, you know, they're living for rent-free. So dad leaves them just a short little to-do list. And, you know, the short little to-do list, just a few little minor chores. Minor, like 15 to 20-minute little jobs. And they kept blowing me off, blowing me off. Blowing me off. So, yesterday, I basically disconnected the internet. And I've got two internet connections here. And I'm not stupid, because they're going to come in here and figure this out, right? So, the two routers are here in the studio. So, I took the first router and I disconnected the power line. And then, I took a piece of string and basically stashed it behind, so there was no way they could see where the power cord was for the first router. The second router, it only has the cable in and one network line going to a network switch, or two lines actually. And so I disconnected that and took that router completely, and I've got a filing cabinet over here I can lock, and I put that up. So the internet went off yesterday about let me think, about 11 p.m. And I did it pretty sneakily. I can come out of the studio and I can go into my bedroom and they wouldn't know I was walking around, and my son comes in and says, the internet's out. I'm like, it must be an outage or something. And he was grumbling, and I went to bed, and he was mad, and because he was going to play League of Legends, right? And this morning, I got up, and I had business in town, and I was gone all day. And they were home all day with no internet. By the time I got home, the gig was up. They'd figured out what was going on. And it is pretty amazing what a little motivating of taking the internet away does. Because not only that, they are behind on paying for their cell phones, even though they both have jobs. So I canceled their cell phone account. yes, very mean dad. But, you know, it's pretty amazing what happens when they get cut off from their tech and their phones go dead. We had a little discussion when I got home tonight. And I pay the bill for the internet. I pay the bill for the house. So basically, I rolled in and I'm like, did my chore list get done? And they looked at me. And I'm like, no chores, no tech. And by the way, you can go down to Verizon and you can work on getting your phones turned back on and put on your own bill. And you're not mooching off me anymore. So they're off right now as we speak at the Verizon store trying to get their cell phones turned back on with new telephone numbers. I'm not playing. I am not playing. So anyway, I got the, you know, all the internet plugged back in and I'm good. But as soon as the show is over tonight and things are uploaded, guess what else is happening? Click, click. I'm plugging everything again. So, yes, when you take the tech away, they can't play. And it's a pretty amazing, the little, you know, they were pretty hostile. But it is fun to, you know, make a point. Make a point that you're living for free and you want, you know, I'm done yelling. Done yelling. Done asking. Done pleading. Pretty fun to observe. So I hope your day was good too. And any moms, dads, you guys done any of that little action before? The cell phone thing, really. That made them more mad than anything. But, yeah, it's pretty comical when you talk to the Verizon rep and she's like, you're in the middle of your plan. I said, I don't care. Turn these two phones off now. You know, take them off the plan, deactivate them. I want these phones shut down immediately. And, boy, it's amazing what Verizon can do in just a few minutes. So, yes, taking the tech away. And we'll see how they do down at Verizon, if they qualify to have their phones turned on, or if they're going to have their mom come down and maybe, or me come down and co-sign. Not doing it. Not doing it. Nope, we're done. So, yes, little hard love here. So anyway, that's what's going on. And I thought I would share that with you a little bit. So I am at a little bit of war with some young adults. Not fun for me having to disconnect everything and kind of get the network back up and all that, but I bet you moving forward, the chores will be done. Either that, they'll move out, one of the two, right? Okay, so I'm sure you guys are enjoying it as much as I am. Oh man, I slept really good last night too, knowing that they couldn't play League of Legends or do whatever all night long. You know, some parents would consider that abuse, right? Oh, not me. I love it. Okay, let's move into the content here tonight. So the SNES Classic is real. Nintendo, of course, they killed us with the the previous system that they shut down earlier. I'm, you know, fool me once, you know, not twice, but they're going to, the SENS Classic is real. It arrives on September 29th for $80. I'm not telling you how many I'm ordering, but based on the last go around, I think I'm going to order 5. And then I'm going to, you know, have one, and then I'll save 4 for, you know, 8 or 9 months. And then I'll put them up on eBay and make some money. So, come on, Paige, load. What is going on here? You got to be kidding me. So, this is an article over on Engadget, and their page is, I was going to show you guys a picture for those of you that were, you, oh my goodness, can't believe it. So, a web page is slowing you down. Okay, we'll stop that page. You know, something, I, you know, it is some of these sites, and, you know, and I have to admit, I love using the uBlock ad blocker, but I'm not running it on Firefox because it just is, it just takes a lot more, you know, I have to, there's so many sites don't let you load everything now because you have everything blocked, but there we go. The Super Nintendo Classic Edition, will be a little mini palm size one. So, anyway, Super Mario World, Earthbound, Star Fox 2, plus 18 more games. And again, launches on 9/29. And this thing's going to go like wildfire, just like anything else. Everyone's learned their lesson. They're not going to wait. So it's probably going to like sell out immediately. So as we get closer to the date, I want you to, Ohana, to continue to remind me that this thing's coming on. It's going to be available. And we'll all go get it, all right? Okay, next article up is a little bit of an interesting one. You know, most of us are using Gmail, and, you know, a few of you are using Yahoo. But, you know, I haven't paid attention to a lot of email providers for many, many years because I've just been, you know, using Gmail and actually stayed away from Yahoo. It's, you know, I have a Yahoo account, but I can't tell you the last time I logged in. But the 6 that are out there is the web-based Microsoft Outlook. You know, Outlook is confusing because everyone thinks it's the browser. I mean, not the browser, the application. But they actually have the Microsoft Outlook email service. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know anyone that's using that. Another one that's out there is called GMX Mail. It's a subsidiary of United Internet, one of Germany's largest internet service providers. The free mail service began gaining popularity in the last few years, but it's around since 1997. Zoho Mail is one I've heard before. Don't know anybody that's using it. Of course, you got iCloud. Does people still use Apple's iCloud? What else? AOL Mail. Oh, please. If I see an AOL address come through, I cringe a little bit. I begin to wonder, you know, what century you're living in. But if you're using AOL Mail, please tell me why. Tell me if it's why you like it. You know, that to me is like, every time I see an email come in from AOL email, it's almost like, did the dude keep his account from the day he got a CD account or what? Allude is a little bit different. And Allude's are apparently becoming the most popular email provider on the darknet. And it launched in 2017. It's been hovering up privacy-conscious users who are desperate to find secure, anonymous, and a simple email provider. So Allude is one. But anyway, there's a few for you to check out. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. But just a few email providers that are out there on the list. You know, AT&T, you know, they continue to rifle my feathers on an ongoing basis. You know, for a long time, I was really bent on, you know, not supporting AT&T in any way possible. And they have implemented something here that is just really, really dirty. They're returning, or may soon return, because of the change at the FCC. They're talking about, and I'm reaching under my desk here. Sorry about that. I had to grab something. They're talking about returning to charging broadband subscribers for more privacy. And last year, you may recall that AT&T came up with an ingenious idea to charge broadband customers significantly more if they wanted to protect their own privacy. And we talked about this before. And it basically worked like this. Users ordering service, let's say for $70 a month, would be given this option to opt out of their, what they call the AT&T's Internet Preference Snoopvertising Program, and which used deep packet inspection to study your movement around the internet, down to the second users, and basically users were forced to pay an upwards of $800 more a year to be guaranteed privacy online. Now, AT&T backed off that, in part because former Wheeler-run FCC had started raising a stink about the practice. So I got to take a shot of H2O here. Sorry about that. Forgot to take something. And, but since the lobbying of the, and basically where the FCC's killed broadband privacy protection rules, which would let, have let FCC crack down on these kinds of practices on a case-by-case basis, AT&T has apparently considered bringing the program back. AT&T Senior Vice President Bob Quinn acknowledged that AT&T's first attempt to charge more for privacy didn't go over all that well. You think? He suggested the company may try again to roll out the type of pricing structure. We got an enormous amount of criticism from privacy advocates when we rolled out in Austin, Texas, an ad-supported internet service. Privacy advocates screamed about that. But that was then, this is now. With the FCC privacy protections dead, AT&T lobbyists have shifted their gaze toward killing net neutrality and shoveling all regulatory oversight of broadband duopolies to an overextended and ill-equipped FTC. And FTC, we should reiterate, AT&T lawyers have been making very clear they believe has no real authority over AT&T business. He added, however, that he believes attitudes will change in the future, that, you know, basically thinks spying on us is good. As the privacy revolution evolves, I think people are going to want more control, and maybe that's the pricing menu. That's ultimately what consumers want. We want you to stay out of our business is what we want, AT&T. So just be aware. If you're on that lovely service, they could be coming to you to pay like an extra $80 a month, an extra $80 a month, not to spy on you. Is that just simply incredible or what? It just shows you how much audacity they have and, you know, how much gall. It really is. It's remarkable. Really, really is. Okay, so, what's going on here? Not enough. Okay. My stream, maybe I messed myself up tonight. Are you guys, is the stream good on Facebook? Huh. Wow, what's going on here? Well, maybe because I shut down my internet, that it's definitely not liking it on YouTube. YouTube is struggling, and it's been struggling from the beginning. Oh my goodness. Well, maybe we'll have to take the, take Facebook offline. Wow, that sucks. I mean, YouTube offline. All right, well, we'll just continue here. One thing I noticed when I was traveling, especially when I was going through Dulles, I didn't have to show my boarding pass. They just took my driver's license and put it in the scanner. And that to me was like, whoa, what is this? And essentially, it's tied into the system now where they basically using my driver's license in lieu of my boarding pass to get through security. So I thought that was pretty remarkable. And what is going on here? Okay. Oh, something's trying to play. But anyway, what's happened here is that Delta is testing a system where your fingerprint could replace your airline boarding pass. So, and that's using the Clear system, the $179 a year, where you can actually go through Clear, and basically it gives you expedited security screening. And that $179, where there is a Clear kiosk, man, is really awesome. But travelers who have their fingers and fingerprints and retina scan will be able to get through these airports a lot faster. So anyway, if you're part of SkyMiles Frequent Flyer Program, $99 for general members, $79 for most elites, and free for top tier flyers, basically you can get through security in some places a lot quicker. Scan and fly. Place two fingers, hold for 2 seconds, and remove. So they just scan your fingerprint to get on the airplane, which is pretty slick. Really, really is. All right, we're going to shut YouTube down. YouTube is not working, but I can't do that independently on the other side, I don't think. Can I do that with this one? Let me click on that. No, I cannot. I can't stop it without stopping everything. That's too bad. But anyway, that's what's going on with being able to use your fingerprint to be able to board the aircraft soon. But even more crazy, to keep the skies safe, TSA wants to know what you're reading. The TSA continued to expand on their intrusiveness of searches, supposedly justified by an increased threat to air travel, that doesn't seem to materialize. In fact, the TSA has admitted attacks on airplanes are the threat voted less likely to occur. Only one needs to look at the recent string of terrorist attacks to see if they are far more efficient ways to attack people. Nevertheless, the charade continues, only with more of it as often as possible. Flyers are now being asked to stow explosive batteries. What? Flyers are now being asked to stow, put their laptops in the cargo hold, and liquid limits are still being forced. Now the TSA wants to know what you're reading. As airlines have increased rates for checked bags, travelers are packing more and more into their carry-on luggage. This is causing problems for TSA x-ray machines. And may I pack my thing full of batteries? Absolutely, which are having more trouble discerning what's actually being carried in passengers' bags. The densest materials are the hardest to see, so TSA agents will now be demanding access to reading materials travelers are carrying. The TSA testing new requirements. The passengers remove books and other goods from the carry-on bags when going through airline security. So they're just wanting to remove the density. And given the sensitivity of our reading choices, this raises privacy concerns. Simple, you put it on your Kindle. You don't need paper. Tests of this policy are underway in some small airports around the country, and DHS Secretary John Kelly recently said, we might and likely will apply the policy nationwide. So it's because what's going on is all these charges, no one wants to check luggage. When I was on a flight going from D.C. to Detroit, there was like three checked bags. Everyone else did carry-ons. So, people don't want to do checked luggage, just because of the charge. So, of course, everyone's just packing stuff, all they can get in a carry-on, and they're having a hard time scanning it. Well, you get what you wish for. So, when you're traveling, let's moving on here. So, when you're traveling, how are you keeping your gadgets secure while on vacation? Well, most importantly, avoid using laptop bags. Bags specifically designed to carry laptops have proved particularly popular. But crooks know what to grab first. So, throw it in something unusual, especially if you're out traveling around. You're going to be leaving something in the car, even if it's in the trunk. If you have to leave something or you're taking something into a restaurant or something, use something that doesn't look like a computer bag. Of course, keep things locked. You should be doing this wherever you go regardless. But to make sure you use a good password, of course. And turn that, even though you got that device locked, enable tracking. Tracking apps will, if nothing else, make that stolen device easier to find and or be able to shut it down. So, you can do this both on Android and on Mac devices. apps half the time. I'm looking for my stuff. You know what I use? Find my iPhone 4 or find my tablet where I left it in the house. Because I can make it play a tune even if, you know, it's on vibrate. Admit it. How many of you have done that? You can't find your phone or you can't find a tablet and you rung it with the Find My iPhone. I've done it numerous times. And of course, a lot of this damage when something is stolen is maybe you don't have all the information. So keep your IMEI number. And you can do that by typing in *#06#. And it will, and at least in the iPhone, it will display what your IMEI is. And keep these numbers down so that, you know, that you... you're able to get your phone working sometimes when you're trying to use a, you know, foreign carrier, or you have to get a SIM card or something like that. And of course, make up backups of your devices. And more importantly, insure your device. I don't use the insurance that comes from providers. I use third-party insurance that's out there. It's usually a lot cheaper, especially on really, really expensive devices. So protect yourself while you're traveling this summer. Some tips there for you to use. We absolutely hate patent trolls. You know, patent trolls have cost companies a lot of money, but it's nice to see when one loses and they have to write a big check. There's a company that was basically out shopping in the East Texas court. Shopping lawsuits, and they went up against ADS, and ADS decided to battle them, and ultimately the company that this Rothschild group basically tried to get the case dismissed, and ADS had already incurred $43,000 in legal fees, and before it was all over, basically ADS is getting $43,000 from this patent troll. So many times we get a patent troll that gets stuck with a bill. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But they do a lot of damage. These wins are few and far between, but it's nice to see when they do strike. All right, if you have a Skylake or a Kaby Lake chip, they've got some issues. Under certain conditions, systems with Skylake or Kaby Lake processors can crash due to a bug that occurs when hyperthreading is enabled. Intel has fixed the bug in microcode, but until and unless you install the update, and it's usually a BIOS update, you're not really covered here. So the fix will appear, the fix was published back in May, at this point, you're going to have to hope that your system's firmware is, that your provider pushes out an update. So I would definitely look at your motherboard, look at the chip you have, look at this information that is out there about this bug, and then, contact your hardware manufacturer and see if they've got a fix. So the link will be up in the show notes on this, specifically for those of you with Skylake and Kaby Lake chips, okay? The rest of you are not affected. Well, there was, this drama going around with the travel ban. And the Supreme Court has given the president 90 days to put in his travel ban. Or basically, he's able to implement it. And they've done some, gave him, putting some restrictions to it, but, this thing's in effect. So I'm getting curious. I want to hear from all of you. If you have a company, is this travel ban going to affect your company, or do you work at a school? Is it affecting students? You hear a lot of people crying that, this is going to be, it's going to be huge. It's going to have a huge negative effect on people coming to the country, which for at least for the six banned countries, which include Iran, Sudan, Somalia, Libya, Syria, and Yemen, it definitely is going to. But is that going to affect your business? I'd love to hear from you. But the Supreme Court's going to hear this in October and get a final judgment on it. But right now, the travel ban is in place. All those lower court stuff where they said stop has been removed. There is a lot of work being done in augmented reality, and Apple is actually doing some pretty cool stuff. SpaceX has developed some augmented reality demos using the Apple's augmented reality toolkit, and this is pretty cool. What they've got here is a gentleman trains his iPhone 7 screen at the sky where a digital version of the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket booster comes barreling towards the ground. He follows the booster until it gently settles onto a basically what appears to be a drone ship in his swimming pool. And but it seems pretty cool. This video is pretty awesome. And so these are all demos. And it's not trying to solve a problem like some other stuff I've solved with a digital measuring tape, some other stuff, but it further illustrates how Apple's first attempt at augmented reality could be the kind of dazzling feature that the last few iPhones have been missing. So we'll see where this goes. This is pretty cool. And definitely check out the video, okay? You would think this would have already been done, but Google has decided to remove personal medical records from search. So if you find anything on the internet that is of your basically personal medical record, you can basically do a submission to Google now to basically do like a DMCA type of takedown request to get the material removed. They won't remove anything unless you tell them to remove it. So, but you would think this would have been automatic already. Why do they have to, why is this just a policy coming into place? You would think if they found medical records online that they would have squashed it immediately, no matter what. But that, That's not necessarily the case. I think Jason's in Germany for a big wrestling event, Bill. I think that's what he's doing there. Ladies, this is really important for you. A new type of microscope can drastically reduce, or could drastically reduce, the number of women having multiple breast cancer surgeries. Researchers at the University of Washington have a claim that until now, there's been no reliable way to determine whether surgeons have completely removed all cancerous tissue during surgery, meaning between 20 and 40% of women who have to undergo a second or third or even fourth procedure, which is very traumatic. Current pathology techniques are complicated and very laborious, often taking days to produce a rope, but the new light sheet microscope rapidly and non-destructively images the margins of removed tissue with the same level of detail as traditional pathology in as little as 30 minutes. They say the tools that they're using in pathology have changed a little over the past century, but this light sheet microscope represents a major advance for pathology and cancer patients, allowing us to examine tissue in minutes rather than days to view it in three dimensions instead of two, which will ultimately lead to improved clinical care. The microscope is also able to stitch together thousands of high-resolution images per second to create a 3D image of surgical or biopsy specimens, allowing pathologists to more accurately and conscientiously diagnose and grade tumors. Pathologists are currently very limited in how much they can look at on a glass slide, said co-author Adam Glasser, a postdoctoral fellow in the UW Molecular Biophotonics Laboratory. If we can give them three-dimensional data, we can give them more information to help them improve the accuracy of the patient's diagnosis. I think anyone that's already on the operating table that has been cut open to remove any type of cancerous growth, if they can, you know, extend that surgery just a little bit longer, bring in a device that is able to look at the tissue surrounding where a tumor, and, you know, in a general area, and make sure they got it all. I think there's not a one of us that would be willing to go a little bit longer under the knife, because, first of all, just going under the knife is dangerous enough, having to go back a second, third, fourth time increases that ratio of risk to, you know, so this could be revolutionary. And it is, and it also, I just wonder, you know, many women, you know, when they're facing breast cancer, often have to go to the extreme and have the entire breast removed. And that's just emotionally incredibly horrible for them. So if they're able to isolate and not have to be so, you know, invasive, this is big. And I just, you know, as we move on in time here, I think what we're going to see is, I think we're going to see this kind of science really expanding. And you could get to the point where if someone's having, you know, you got a lung cancer patient, you know, that's very hard to, you know, get out all the bad. And if there's just a little bit left in there, it's just like, man, it can come on back to kill you. So, anything where they can actually see the structure of the cells and be able to tell that that's got to go is good. And so this is exciting stuff. It really, really is. So we'll see where this leads in time and if it gets into any type of actual clinical utilization. I don't know, you know, where it's at this point, but very exciting stuff. Department of Homeland Security is a video game-like trainer for active shooter incidents. It's called, it's built on the Unreal Engine, and it's available to any first responder. So the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate announced the release of a virtual training platform for active shooter incidents. The Enhanced Dynamic Geosocial Environment, or EDGE, is a program that creates a virtual active shooter scenario through which first responders can train themselves. The platform was built on Epic Games' Unreal Engine, which has also been used to create training programs for NASA astronauts and the U.S. Army. The scenario that's available now is set in a 26-story hotel in Sacramento, California. Every part of the hotel is accessible to trainees. First responders from different disciplines can train side by side, and different setups can be created depending on what training lesson instructors want to focus on. So it's pretty cool for the first responders out there. Police, fire, everybody. Awesome. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. You know, we talked a little bit about AT&T a little while ago and some of the naughty stuff they're doing. But AT&T's now working to expand its rural wireless internet service. Now, you have to pay for privacy. But the carriers launched its fixed in-place cellular access in 8 more southeastern states, providing broadband to over 70,000 locations that would otherwise have poor or non-existent internet coverage. That still doesn't sound like much, but it's larger than Georgia. It's much larger than the Georgia-only service AT&T started in April. It also gets the provider much closer to the goal of serving 400,000 locations. So which states did they launch this in? As before, subscribers shall get $60 per month for an LTE connection with 160 gigs of data. Whoa. $10 for every additional 50 gigs. And that's beyond that up to $200. They'll have download speeds of at least 10 megs per second, which doesn't meet FCC broadband definition, but it's miles better than dial-up or basic DSL. So the rollout helps AT&T as pledged to the FCC Connect America Fund. And what states does it say? Let me look here. If I can find the states that they have launched in. So new states where services launch is Alabama, Florida, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Louisiana. So if you are in a rural area, in one of those states, this may lead to getting some higher speed internet. Now, this is exciting. We plan to launch in 18 states or rural later this year. The additional states are Arkansas, California, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Michigan, Ohio, Texas, and Wisconsin. So again, our fixed wireless internet service delivers a home internet connection with a download speed of at least of 10 megs. So I think 160 gigs of data. Even at, you know, I'm thinking about what my mom's paying. Not bad. Not bad at all things considering. So we'll see where this leads. As LTE gets faster, maybe that's going to be the ultimate solution here, all right? You know, the Canon EOS Rebel T6 is a pretty nice little camera. And they've got a special going on right now for $344. This would normally run about $100 or more. $100 more. So this is a deal that's being put on, looks like, by CNET over at MEH.com. And let's see if I can get the direct link to that deal. So, that's kind of cool. So anyway, I have the link up in the show notes here for you to check that out. MEH.com is where there's a lot of different deals. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Canon EOS Rebel T6 DSLR for $344 off $100. All right, Facebook, Twitter, and others band together to fight online extremism. They're calling themselves a global internet forum to counter terrorism. It sounds like a government organization. So four titans of technology, Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, and YouTube, announced Monday they're teaming up to fight extremism online, and again have created this global internet forum to counter terrorism, GIFCT. They say, we believe that by working together, sharing the best technology and operational elements of our individual efforts, Twitter's policy team wrote, we can have a greater impact on the threat of terrorist content online. In fact, GIFICT's goals are similar in scope to what Facebook discussed in the first installment of its Hard Question series, How We Counter Terrorism. So we'll see. We'll see if they're able to put some of this content in check that's out there. Also, Russia has threatened to ban the Telegram app if it doesn't hand over data. Russia authorities say the app supports terrorist activity. Russia communications regulators demanded Telegram turn over information about the messaging app and the company behind it or risk being blocked. Founder Pavel Durov said the Telegram had been also asked to give the Russian government access to decrypt user messages, all in the name of quote-unquote catching terrorists. The Russian security services, the KGB, of course they don't call them that anymore, claim that the app had been used by terrorists to plan attacks, citing a suicide bombing that occurred in April as an example. Telegram, a favorite of the Vatican, has also been used by ISIS to spread kid-centric learning app, and though Telegram has made an effort to block ISIS channels, new ones are created frequently. So I'm not that familiar with Telegram or what it does. So I guess it's a secure messaging app. You know, I started a new series, a new television series. I believe it's on Amazon. It's been like its fourth or fifth season. I don't know how I missed this, but it's called The Americans, and it's basically about Russian sleeper cells in the United States back in the 80s. Really cool series. And if there's any basis of truth to the program, which I don't know if there is, if this is stories that have come out later, I don't know if they're making stuff up as they go. Some of it seems a little bit over the top, but I think it's a pretty cool series, and hopefully in the end they get their day. All right, Apple's working with Hertz to manage its self-driving car fleet. The Apple's leasing a small fleet of cars from Hertz Global Holdings to test self-driving technology, agreement that echoes a larger deal between the competitors, Alphabet and Avis Budget Group. Hertz shares soared the most in the last 2 years. I'm currently boycotting Hertz. So good luck there, Apple, on that. I guess they got to make a partnership with anybody because their customer service sucks. Samsung Pay finally works with your Discover card. Do people have the Discover card still? Okay, if you do, your Samsung Pay service now works with Discover cards, okay? Google gives students interactive tools for STEM and internet safety. Google launched a new browser-based Google Earth this past April, adding educational tools to make it easier for teachers to show off the world to students without leaving the classroom. The company also collaborated with BBC to create a digital storytelling platform called Voyager that helps create the discovery of various places of interest around the globe. You know what I love about doing, what I love doing with Google Earth? Places that I've been before, I can find on Google Earth and take my kids there. So this is where Dad stayed, and this is where I was, and it's really awesome. Some countries doesn't have as good of countries, but I spent a lot of time in the Middle East. Middle East isn't covered too bad, and I can say, well, here was this and there. This is where I got hurt. You know, I can take them around and show them different areas. And of course, I use Google Earth a lot when we're like this trip we planned to Japan. I wanted to see, you know, where I was. The specific store I want to go to, got my, you know, my reference. It's, you know, it is really, really powerful. And to be able to use some of these tools to build these virtual tools, virtual tours for kids, it's awesome. It really, really is. So anyway, any of you doing out curriculum support or building stuff out there, definitely check this out. And it's good too for, you know, again, I use Google Earth a lot just for travel planning. If I'm going to a business in New York City, if I don't know where I'm going in Manhattan, I put the address in and I'm able to look up and down the street. I'm able to look up the building a little ways. I can kind of look at the front, figure out where the entrance is. It really, from a planning standpoint, and I'm a little bit about, especially if I don't know where I'm going the first time, I get a little nervous. So for me, being able to pre-plan, you know, you've got an address and you're going to get there, but in a big city, it just gives you kind of, oh yeah, okay, now I've got an idea. I've got my, you know, sometimes I just do a screenshot, kook, and then when I get to the building, I'm like, yep, that's the building I need to go into, because sometimes the numbers aren't 100% clear and you have to be down the street a little further to get the building number. So I think it's awesome. I really do. Starting in June 30th, AT&T.net customers no longer be able to log into their Yahoo and Tumblr accounts through email addresses with the following domains: AT&T.net, Ameritech.net, BellSouth.net, Flash.net, NVBell.net, PacBell.net, Prodigy.net, SBCGlobal.net, SNET.net, SWBell.net, and WANS.net. If you're affected, all you need to do to ensure your continued access to your Tumblr account is to update your registered email address to something other than those addresses mentioned above. So Verizon is already bringing the hammer. Oh, that's kind of funny. Cutting out the competition, and I don't blame them. Lyft tries to make your rides faster with suggested pickup spots. You know, I've had this happen. And especially in Manhattan, I, you know, come out in the morning rush hour and say, pick me up here, and I'm looking down the street and there's a traffic jam. I'm looking here as a traffic jam, and you know, and I was using Uber at the time. The Uber driver called me, said, can you meet me two blocks up? And so it's sometimes it's just easier to go to where your driver is. And basically walking a block might save you 30 minutes sitting in the car, and makes your driver be more efficient and everything else. And this is Smart Lyft. I'm going to be really excited about this, and being able to, you know, basically get around a lot faster with your service when you tell me when I'm in big cities to make a change. So I think this is really, really slick and smart on their part. So good job. There's a good review over on iMore.com about the upcoming iOS 11 update. And I've got a couple of friends that have the iOS 11 update, and they keep showing me stuff. And this iOS 11 update's going to be huge. It's a big design change. It's got lots of change to the notification center and control center. On the control center now, you can actually, that's basically control centers. When you click the button, you need to flip up and you get to the flashlight. You can now add some apps there. There's just a whole bunch of stuff. Drag and drop. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Multi-windowing, a whole bunch of stuff. Have any of you bought the new 10.6-inch iPad Pro? But, you know, camera and phones, just, I mean, the list goes on. This is a huge, you're going to, for the iOS user, you're going to spend about 30 minutes on this article if you really want to dig into what iOS 11's bringing to the party. So, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, Twitter on Android automatically enters night mode after dark. So this is a big change. So if you're on Twitter at night, it'll darken down when you've set your hours on your device to indicate what your night hours are. So, I guess it's automatically turns on night mode after dark. Oh, okay. You can still set it to manual, toggle. Anyway, very, very cool on that. I like that function. And also, there's a big article about, and we've talked about Apple's artificial, basically AR already, and they are, appears to be a lot closer with some of their stuff in bringing AR mainstream, and it's one of the things that got in this article on The Verge is the example of that virtual ruler with augmented reality. So link will be up on that. Won't go too deep into this. Astronomers have captured the best picture yet of the star in Orion's armpit. I thought there was more than one star out on Orion, but basically they've been able to capture a high resolution photo, and they've got concerns about this specific star because it's got its heat. Density is not the same across the star. So anyway, this is a pretty cool science project here, and it gives the example of, you know, it tells you how big this star is, because this thing basically is compared to our star. This star in Orion's armpit, it basically, its outer bands reach, basically the heliosphere goes as far as Jupiter, then the so that's how massive this thing is in scale, and it's 1400 times larger than our sun, and that gives you some interesting thought, you know, gives you some thought there. But this particular star continues to lose mass, and they've got some concerns here, but who knows, maybe it's getting ready to go boom. Link will be up in the show notes. You can check it out. Also, the iOS 11 public beta is now available, so you can easily update to iOS 11 if you want to. Just be aware you're going to be dealing with some bugs. According to Neiman Labs, news apps are making a comeback. More young Americans are paying for news. Really? Thursday, from Oxford Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, the Reuters Institute Digital News Report 2017 reported more than 70,000 people in the 36 countries about your digital consumption. Countries included in the report for the first time this year were Slovakia, Croatia, Romania, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore, Argentina, Chile, and Mexico. And they're basically saying that that younger people are paying for more news. The report finds that the growth of ad blockers has stalled on desktop at around 20%, and that it is not spread to smartphones, where less than 1 in 10, 7% have worked on how to install an ad blocker. And then, what else is there? There's just, Americans still like social media more than news, or for news, and residents of other countries are not so much. 51% of the people on the Reuters Institute surveyed in the U.S. got their news from social media. That's really sad. Up to 5% from 2016, but doubling since 2013. A third of 18 to 20-year-olds across all the countries surveyed now say that social media is their main source of news. Oh, my God. Still outside the United States, United Kingdom, growth in the use of social media for news seems to be flattening out. So, but it's a pretty cool study. Lots of information here. I guess young people are paying for news where older people don't. But good detail, lots of stuff in there, lots of juicy stuff. Probably that's a top article of the day. The Windows Defender bug. How many of you actually used Windows Defender? Well, apparently it was so, it had such a big bug that its exploit had to be encrypted. Its exploit update had to be encrypted. They wouldn't even let people see what they were patching. And it was that bad. So link will be up in the show notes on that. If you use Windows Defender, make sure you get it updated, okay? In an interesting development or study, Google Home is supposedly 6 times more likely to answer a question than Amazon Alexa. This is according to software developed by New York-based 360i. Google Home, again, it's relatively surprising considering that Alexa will drive $10 billion of revenue to Amazon by 2020, not to mention their artificial intelligence-based system that currently owns 70% of the voice market. 360i's proprietary software asks both devices 3,000 questions to come up to the figure, while Amazon Alexa has shown considerable strength in retail search during the agency's research. Google won the day thanks to its unmatched Google search ability, which should not come as a surprise. But I'm not using Alexa to find information out about Google. I'm using Google to do that. Also, T-Mobile, a final article tonight, T-Mobile's rolled out LTE-U support in 6 cities. So if you live in Bellevue, Washington, Brooklyn, New York, Dearborn, Michigan, Las Vegas, Nevada, Richardson, Texas, or Simi Valley, California, and have a compatible device, which now is only the Samsung Galaxy S8, you'll be able to take advantage of the faster speeds through LTE-U. And if you need a refresher, LTE-U is the unlicensed part of the LTE Advanced Spectrum, which takes advantage of unused frequency at the 5 gigahertz band. And they say that in field tests, download speeds up to 741 megs, although that technology is far away from commercial deployment. So that's the last piece. I do have a comment tonight on the show. And I have to really give where credit is due. We have one of our absolute longtime super Ohana, and actually this Ohana member is in the other upper echelon of contributors to the show. And that's Sam. Sam Garcia in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who is on our Warrior Council. And if he keeps going the way he is, he's going to be the first guy to go to the King's Court. And what Sam does is something that I appreciate very, very deeply. I am not an artist in any way. Those of you that use an app, when you get this episode, you see the different album art that is being displayed from the episode. Sam has created 29 more pieces of album art for me. He's created 70 so far. And, you know, Sam says, I created 29 more pieces of album art, number 41 to 70, if you want to use them, of course. And, of course, you can find them in the GNC album art folder on my Flickr account, and he gives me the link. He says, keep the podcast coming, and I'll keep listening to every minute. Keep being you, Todd the Geek. It's your personality, your storytelling that makes GNC Podcast what it is and what keeps us listening to every episode. I appreciate you and all your effort you put into making the podcast what it is. I hope my small contribution to album art and occasional ideas benefit the podcast. And basically, you know, every time I've been in Albuquerque, Sam and I have met at, we went and had a Frontier, we've had a Frontier burrito or whatever Sam wanted. You know, we've met for lunch. He's taken time out of his busy work schedule and met with me. And he always comes with a couple pages of ideas for the show. And I don't always implement all of them, but they actually make good reference to go back and look at sometimes for me to remind stuff that, you know, Sam is super Ohana here. And so when you guys, the rest of the audience here, when you guys contribute something to the show, it is really I'm really appreciative. You know, some shows have people that do bumpers and little jingles, and you know, and Sam does album art for us, and it's fantastic. So, you know, as you guys are listening to the show, you know, I appreciate these types of contributions to the podcast in a big, big way, and they're just as valuable as cash. And you know, for him to make essentially 29 new pieces of album art, it's going to allow me to have 20. Basically, I now can put 70 pieces of album art in rotation. We can go, you know, what, 6-7 months of total episodes, or 8 months, 8 times 9. Oh, what? Yeah, 8 months. Some 8 months and 6 episodes, or whatever it is, like that. Before we have to rotate him in. So I really do appreciate Sam, and thanks for being a part of the Ohana here. And Sam sent me a picture. He says, "Hey Tom, I'm in the gym. I'm listening at 2x speed. I hope that's okay." Sam, I'm looking at this gym, dude. Whoa, that's a gym. We don't have buildings that big in Hawaii. That's an amazing, amazing gym. And you're going to Planet Fitness. So, of course, a little free advertising for Planet Fitness here. We've got gyms aren't this big in Hawaii. thanks for listening while you're in the gym. And I got an email. Oh, Joe sent me this. He says, "I'm in Stillwater, Oklahoma." And he did me a shout out the back of his door. I think we covered that in the last show. But send me a picture. Where are you listening to the podcast today? Where are you tuned in? You know, where are you listening right now? Love to see, you know, even if it's, I don't care where you're at, at your desk or in bed or in your car. Of course, I don't want you to get an accident, so be careful. Wait till you get parked. Just take a snap out the window, or, you know, where you're at, or do a selfie. I don't care. And send that to geeknews@gmail.com. Make sure you tell me just a little bit about you, how long you've been listening. And, you know, we've got audience members that have been here from the get-go, and hard to believe that we're fast approaching 13 years of doing this show. But can't say I'm an expert. I still learn something new every day. I still screw up on the show every day. But I guess, as Sam says, I am what I am, and I do what I do. But there is more to the story that we're going to be able to share at some point down the road. And I'll kind of leave it at that. But you know, there's so much stuff that I work in the podcasting space today. I could write a whole book, or several books, on that experience of not only building a company and how we've done it, and this whole podcast space. Anyway, everybody, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. I can't say it enough to all of you. And if you're a new listener, welcome to the family. And that's what Ohana means, is family here in Hawaii. But weather's been beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Got a little rain here and there, but it's just like, psh, and then you're good. And so it's just a beautiful summertime here in Hawaii. So we're trying to decide, and I'm trying to decide when I can do a trip back to Columbus and do a quick dash. And we'll be talking about that. I might be trying to do a dash to the office in Columbus sometime in July. It all depends on my schedule. Of course, I've got a big event coming up at the end of August, which is Podcast Movement, which is going to be out in Anaheim. So I'm going to be out in the LA Basin the week of August 21st. And there is additional travel that is shaping up for me, a little bit of consulting as well. So lots going on. And believe it or not, I've already got to start. And matter of fact, I got to send emails tomorrow on CES. And I was actually looking at hotel prices. Holy crap. Have the hotel prices went up? I'm a little bit shocked about how much the hotels are going to cost us this year for CES. Matter of fact, I'm shopping around for a new place to stay because it's gotten a little bit too expensive, if you know what I mean. But anyway, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. And we'll see you on Thursday, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye. Aloha. And those of you on Facebook, thanks for being here. Bye-bye.